Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. I lay awake at night and ask myself, how can a criminal president violate the law virtually every day and not be indicted for it? Welcome to the program. What am I talking about? How can he violate immigration law in particular? How can he bring in Syrian Muslim refugees without approval of the Congress? How can he usher in diseased immigrants from south of the border without a congressional approval? And how can they not take him out in handcuffs? That's what's eating me alive. There is no law in the nation. We have government anarchy because the man at the top is a criminal. He breaks the law on a daily basis. But it gets worse. John Kerry. John Kerry has a daughter. She has a charity. John Kerry siphoned millions of dollars to his daughter's charity. No arrest, no handcuffs, no jumpsuit. If you don't return a library book after 3 months, the police will come for you. We have a criminal regime running the country and destroying it. Now I want to go down to the street level. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Remember what I said on the show on Monday or Tuesday? When I watched that video of that punk woman cop shoot dead that black man, Officer Betty Shelby. Do you remember what I said? He was doing nothing wrong. He didn't violate the law. She killed him for no reason. I was ripped apart on Facebook by a lot of idiots who think that everything a cop does has to be supported. That's ludicrous. In every walk of life, no matter what it may be, there are the good, the bad, and the ugly. This woman was never competent enough to be a cop. She panicked, and she killed that black man. I was confirmed to be right because she was indicted for first-degree manslaughter just the other day. Remember the unarmed black man shot dead by the white police officer on the Tulsa street? Well, prosecutors charged her, the so-called officer, with first-degree manslaughter. I was right, and I'm glad I was right because my entire career depends upon being right more than I'm wrong. And now I want to tell you a little bit more about what's going on in the world. Again, it's a Rock and Roll Friday, and the phone number is 855-400-7282. Guns, 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 guns. Killings, 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 killings. So let me give you a positive gun story. There's a video going around which I found this morning from AP. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. Probably it's on Facebook by now. I don't know. It says, woman kills home invader, has gun battle with second suspect. That's only part of the story. You got to see this woman. This woman is amazing. She should be given a hero's award. Three pieces of human trash kick in the door of her home just northeast of Atlanta. The woman is awakened by the sounds of people breaking into her home after 4 a.m. last week. She comes out as they come in with guns. She gets into a gun battle with them. She shoots one of them and they run like cockroaches out of the house. The big brave hoodies go running out of the door as the bullets are flying at them. She shot one man in the torso, then she engages in a gun battle with one of the surviving vermin. So I'm showing you about guns. Guns can save your life. Guns can take your life. I had a dream last night. I actually dreamed the show. Are you ready for what my inner mind told me I was going to talk about today? It was as though I was on the air. I saw it on my message board. This is how I'm able to do the shows and the books, because it comes from a deep well. And the question was this. I read that only a few small percent of Americans account for 50% of all the gun ownership in America. It's something like 3% of Americans own 50% of the guns. So I said to myself, in my sleep, I thought this. If you own three guns or more, will you call this radio show and tell us why you need three guns or more? Okay. Then on the other side, if you do not own a gun, call and tell us why you don't own a gun, given that we're living in such crazy times with your crazy president bringing in murderers and terrorists. You don't want to protect yourself and your family? What if someone kicks your door in at 3 o'clock in the morning? Who are you going to call? Marvin from NYU? You're going to call the ACLU at 4 in the morning? You can call Smith and Wesson. They'll help you faster than Marvin with a law degree. And that woman knew it. I never do gun stories on this show because it's usually very limited in response, but I'm very intrigued by this. If you own three guns or more, call this show The Savage Nation and tell us why you own three guns or more. What do you need them for? On the other hand, if you're a gunophobe and you do not own a gun, tell us why you don't own a gun, given that so many Americans do own guns. Why don't you own one? I think it's an important question, and I'd like to carry it for a minute or two. Well, I'd say a segment is about it. I'm not going to do a three-hour job. I'm not a fill-in host. This is my show. I like to mix the topics up. And so for those of you who have followed the show for many years and like to do dream analysis, here's an easy one for you. I don't know whether the following dream occurred before the gun dream or after it, but I saw myself in the dream having climbed a very steep, steep rock outcropping. It was almost vertical, but somehow I was able to get up. It wasn't just rock, there was brush, and it was somewhat angled going up. And when I got to the top of it, it was surrounded by brush, and there was nowhere to go, and I looked down and realized I could never go down. That it was hard enough to climb up, but as you well know with steep inclines, it's very difficult to go down without the proper equipment. I was trapped on the top of this outcropping, and I couldn't get down from it. And the only way down in this dream was to call a helicopter. Well, I woke up, and I can interpret that dream. I know what it is. I know exactly what that dream is. That dream is, I have climbed to the top of my career. I am at a plateau. I've written yet another bestseller called Scorched Earth. I have a very, very successful radio program. I'm at the top of the mountain. And there's no way down from this mountain. People don't understand something, is that you can struggle all your life to achieve something, and once you achieve it, in some cases, you're trapped by your own achievement. I want you to think about that. Many of you are struggling to succeed. And I have said many times, in quoting Eugene O'Neill, where he wrote, success is a stale finale, the struggle is the success. Well, I'd like to add something to that fact. It's not the struggle that's the success. It's not achieving success that may be the success. Because success itself may not be a great achievement. It could be an imprisonment. Those are just some thoughts for Friday. I know many of you like to think. And you'll call on the gun thing, not on the dream. I don't blame you for that. And here are some of the other stories while you're wiling and dialing. What did I tell you the other day? Who was behind the riots in Charlotte? Police have now said that 70% of arrested protesters had out-of-state IDs. What did I tell you yesterday on the show? I said that most of the agitators are white communists from out-of-state, funded by George Soros, the National Lawyers Guild, the vermin that need to be reined in if Trump becomes president, or we're all dead. Let me tell you something else, in case you don't know it, because I told you this 6 months ago on this show. There is a federal law that prohibits people from crossing state lines to incite a riot. When was that law passed? It was passed during the turbulent 60s, when the fathers of these vermin, the communist fathers of these same communist vermin, were crossing state lines to incite riots against the Vietnam War. Well, legislators that we had then said enough is enough with these outside agitators. We're going to pass a federal law. You cross a state line to incite a riot, you're going to jail. It's a federal crime. Now, I said that to you yesterday. You know and I know that our attorney general will not indict these people because they are the ones who put her in office. You and I both know that the president of the United States is an outside agitator himself. So why would he ever indict people who are crossing state lines to incite a riot when he's in America inciting riots with what he is doing? So we the people are now stuck, aren't we? Are we really stuck? I'm not so sure we're that stuck. So those are some of the ideas, some of the questions. Let's go to some of the callers. Steve on WABC Line 2, 30 seconds or less on the gun issue.
Yeah, pleasure, Doc. The reason why I own more than one gun is because I have multiple entrances on my property, and I'd like to have every property covered with an available firearm.
Hold on, Steve. You're calling from New York City. You're not allowed to own guns in New York City.
You're allowed to own hunting weapons.
What weapons do you own?
I own rifles, Doc.
Okay, what rifles? Name them.
Name them? 30-06, 30-30s. And I have one.
No, I said, give me the brand name of the 30-06 and the 30-30. Who's the manufacturer?
Remington.
Who?
Remington.
So why do you need three hunting rifles?
Why? Because I may be hunted one day, and I'd like to protect myself.
Well, how can you shoot three rifles at once?
I have multiple entrances to my property. So let's say a person enters through my balcony. If my gun is in my bedroom, I will not be able to access it. So I will need a gun by every entrance just in case someone enters my property.
All right. Well, I ask for the reason why you own more than three guns. How many do you own?
I own four, actually.
Do you own any handguns?
No, I don't, because they're illegal only.
Okay, thanks for that call. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because I tell you, the article was an eye-opener for me. I wasn't that shocked by it, but it was interesting that data shows that a very small percentage of Americans account for the majority of gun ownership in the country, and most of them own more than three guns. Now, I myself am in that category. I don't question why, because my answer is similar to what the man said. First of all, I have multiple dwellings. That's number one. Secondly, he's 100% right. If you're in one room of the house, there's no guarantee that if someone breaks in from another room, you're going to be ready for that break-in. Now, I realize that to the non-gun owners out there, the gunophobes who are afraid they'll kill themselves or kill a spouse if a gun is in the house, that's the main reason they don't own guns. They're afraid they'll kill themselves because they're usually medicated and they're terrified of themselves. They're usually very liberal. They're afraid of themselves, so therefore they're projected upon the gun, and they think the gun will kill them. But it's not the gun that will kill you. It's your own psycho behavior that will kill you. But nevertheless, people who don't have guns are afraid of them. They're gunophobic. That is, at this time, not in the manual for mental illness? It could be in there in the near future. But knowing that the liberals control what goes into that manual for psychiatric categorization, they probably put multiple gun ownership in there before they put fear of guns in there. But nevertheless, that's a side note. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Let me ask you a question. If you go through a red light, do you expect to be given a ticket? If you violate the law, don't you expect to be caught at some point and punished for it? Of course you do. So you try to not violate the law. What if you have a rogue president who violates the law on a daily basis without any consequences? Tell me what the recourse is in a nation like this. Tell me. I want to know the answer. Violates the law every day. How in the world can this man register illegal aliens to vote without being arrested for it on the spot? A foreign enemy could not get away with what Obama and his minions are doing on a daily basis. How in the world do you explain this? Well, for one, we have a one-party system. Don't be fooled for a second. There is no two parties running this country. I've said it for 20 years since I'm in the radio business. Two-card Monty, whatever you want to say, three shells, no P under it, oligarchy, Demokins, Republicrats. I'm hoping Donald Trump is not a part of the Republican establishment, but I don't know yet. I'm betting on him. I bet on him from the beginning. He might win. When he wins, that's when our battle begins. When he wins, that's when our battle begins. When Trump wins, that's when our battle begins. And I'll let him know it as well, by the way. Don't think I'm going to sit idly by if he becomes president and I'm at the inauguration, and then I wake up on February. In February, he's doing the same thing that I've been seeing going on for a long time now. I'll do the best I can. He's not going to listen to me. What am I? One man with a microphone, that's all. But the fact is that I will try to do something, as I have all these years. I'm certainly not going to vote for the old lady. We know what she is. The Clinton Corruption Corporation. The CCC. The Clinton Corruption Corporation you want me to vote for? We know what we're going to get with her. We're going to get 550% more illegal immigrants from the Middle East. 550% more. I don't even understand how a poor black man could appreciate that one. I have no idea why black people are voting for her. I don't understand it. What has Obama done for the black community? Nothing. So you expect something from her? You say, well, what are you going to get from Trump? Maybe nothing. I don't know. Maybe nothing. Maybe no one will do anything for you, because maybe in America you have to do it on your own, like I did. I started poor. My father was an immigrant. No one gave us any money. When my father died, you know how much money he left me? Would you like to know the number? $3,500. That's what he left me. That's a real fortune, isn't it? He left me $3,500. There's no secret handshake. There was no one waiting for me, no uncle with a cardboard factory. Nobody high up saying, come work for me, Michael. I had to work from the day I could remember. I had no start in life, other than with, I did have a start. He taught me how to think. That's probably the most important thing he could have done for me. He taught me how to use my own mind. I'd ask him a question, and he wouldn't give me the answer. He would say, think about it. He'd try to teach me how to think. Can you imagine the value of that for a child, to teach a child how to think, especially in an age of groupthink like now, where most of them are dummies, they stare at a computer, they don't know anything. They don't even know what an encyclopedia is. They hit Google for every answer on earth. The Google algorithm is run by a group of left-wing fanatics who feed them the same garbage that they want them fed. You'll go type in Google on any subject. You think that's the truth? No, it's an algorithm, whatever they want it to be. I haven't even typed in scorched earth yet. I don't know what comes up first. Does my book come up first? I didn't coin the phrase, but I popularized the phrase with this best-selling book, didn't I? Yes. Okay, does it come up on Google? Robert, check it. See what happens. Yeah? Is it the first thing? I doubt it. But you get my point. Learning how to think is perhaps the most important thing you can teach a child. It's the hardest thing to teach a child, because if you don't know how to think, how are you going to teach a child to think? Luckily for me, my father didn't go past, I think, high school. I don't even know. He couldn't. He had to work, whatever. He started by working, if you can believe this, those of you who think everyone who is a white man in the media is rich, comes from rich, and we all have a secret start in life. My father worked on a driving a laundry wagon driven by pulled by a horse in New York's Lower East Side. Would you believe that? I heard the story. I couldn't believe it. And at age 13, the horse got away from him, and he was pulled off the wagon, and a spike went through his leg. Would you believe that? It's like not real to me, because I didn't see it happen. That was my start in life, and I'm not complaining about it, because I'm trapped on the mountaintop.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
People cried over love in those days. Imagine how stupid they were. Imagine people cried over love, what we've come to today. Internet pornography, synthetic women, synthetic men, dolls, sex dolls. They cried over love in my generation. It's unbelievable to me. Pounding hearts, sleepless nights, vomiting over love. Look what it is today. Nothing. A sneeze in the night, a Kleenex in the garbage. They go dancing and throw an embryo in the trash can and go back to the dance. No, it's pretty, I'm saying it like it is. This is what we're living through. And you say, well, how did this happen? Who did it? I can't say Obama did that. He's an end line of it all. He's a product of this debasement of our society. I'll give you an example. Lawyer, after school Satan Club must be allowed to proceed. I said, what? Now, a so-called after school Satan Club proposed by the Satanic Temple of Seattle will be held at Centennial Elementary School, must be allowed to proceed, an attorney hired to represent the Mount Vernon School District said. The lawyer of the Seattle-based law firm Patterson Buchanan said, I think that if the school district denied that application, you would face costly litigation that would be distracting from your mission. This is what I'm trying to say to you. Do you understand what's going on, how the perverts are getting around everything by using a law to destroy the society? Do you see how the deviants, the perverts, the psychopaths are using the law to destroy this country? A Satan school club in an elementary school, when every parent, when they were asked to raise their hand if they oppose it, every parent raised their hand and said, no, we don't want a Satan club. And that includes Hispanic people whose children are in the school system. They don't want a Satan club, of course. Usually they're very devout Catholics. So how is it that the lawyers have been able to hijack America? We read that a representative from the Satanic Temple of Seattle did not return calls Thursday by the Skagit Valley Herald. Now, this is interesting. The district has the right to review the proposed curriculum for any club, but it cannot prohibit the club from school property unless that curriculum uses hate speech, incites violence, or includes pornography. Now, you know, under Hillary Clinton, any Republican will be considered to be conducting hate speech, especially anyone who is a true conservative or a right-winger or alt-right. She'll call it hate speech. She will also say that radio talk shows are hate speech and they incite violence. And she will ban them. You understand how they're going to twist this law. And that's what happens when you let lawyers take control of your country. Who was behind the riot? Charlotte police say 70%. of arrested protesters had out-of-state IDs. What did I tell you yesterday? That if we had a legitimate government instead of a rogue federal government, they would have been arrested before they crossed state lines, because the law is on the books. Now, why I dreamed this dream that I asked you about at the beginning of the show is intriguing to me, how the show has gotten into my subconscious. I literally had a dream where I saw myself sitting in a studio, and the questions that were on the board were written for me. And they said, ask anyone who owns more than three guns to call the show and say why they need more than three guns. Ask anyone who doesn't own a gun why they don't own a gun. I woke up, I said, it's a good show topic. Thank you, subconscious. I have to give my subconscious a name. I don't know what his name is yet. I don't know who he is. I'd like to meet him one day. But the thing is, he's a good show producer. He works while I sleep. I get a good night's sleep, and he's thinking about what to talk about the next day. Now, most people will be frightened by this. They go to a psychiatrist and get medication. I got voices in my head. I dream about things. Oh, that's terrible, said the quack. Quack says, oh, no, you're dreaming about guns? Wait a minute, let me call the CDC. That's a new crime. You can't even dream about guns in this society. And here's some medication. Take three of these a day and get back to me after you fall in the street. After you're catatonic behind a steering wheel, get back to me. But once you open up that portal to your subconscious, wow, man, the world is yours. Let me tell you. On the other hand, be careful what that portal leads to, because you don't know what's in there if you've never gone there. So far, so good. I mean, I opened up the portal a long time ago. I consciously did dream therapy with myself and my children from the time they were young, because I studied dream analysis with a North American Indian teacher who will remain unnamed. That's when I was involved with the book Earth Medicine, the first book in the Earth series, from Earth Medicine 1972 Macmillan to Scorched Earth 22 years later, whatever the number of years is, I'm not doing the math. I studied dream analysis, and I read that that particular tribe did dream analysis every morning because the Native Americans who had been here for 20,000 years were a little different than you and I. They didn't have a McDonald's, they didn't have a Walmart, and they were very much in touch with not only the earth and the sky and the wind, but the spirits that exist, whether you believe it or not is irrelevant because they exist. It doesn't matter whether as a rationalist, you don't actually have to see the spirits for them to exist. It doesn't matter whether you think they exist. They do exist. It's like the same thing with God. It's, in other words, it doesn't matter whether you believe in God. God's not going to stop existing because you don't believe in him. It's a very important point that I'm making here, because it goes to the core of almost everything on earth that we're facing right now. It's like, what is belief? What do you believe in? What's truth? What's false? Who's right? Who's wrong? Are the blacks right in saying cops are targeting them? Are the cops right in saying they're not? Who's right, Hillary or Trump? Many people don't even know what's going on. They're voting with their emotions rather than with their brain. I can't correct that. I mean, I'm not going to do it. Me, from the election point of view, as a pure rationalist who also understands the other worlds that exist, it's clear that national security is our number one issue. Number one issue, national security. Number two issue, domestic security. Who supports the military? Who will close the borders? Who will support the police more? Trump. She will rip the borders apart altogether like Obama has done. She'll finish the job where there is no border between us and Mexico. And it will be all over. We'll become a third world dictatorship. A garbage can. From a melting pot to a chamber pot in one generation. Domestic security? Who will support the police of the two candidates? Trump. Who will rip the police apart at any turn? Hillary. So to me, it's about security. I vote for Trump. The rest I'll have to work on, that's all. And that's from the rationalist point of view. But now getting back to the spirit thing, I know many people don't want to hear about it. You'd rather hear about, you know, just the news, the views. I get it, I understand that. But I'm in a kind of another, I'm in an altered state today. I can't control my dreams. You'll have to forgive me. I'm a talk show host. I mean, I go with what is happening in my life. In that sense, it's a holistic radio show. I tried to say that yesterday. It's not just a two-dimensional or one-dimensional set of ideas that I'm throwing out there every day, the same thing. I couldn't do that show, and I don't do that show. So if I want to go into a holistic thing about what's going on, I do. But let me go back to this whole thing about spirits and this and that. Many people don't believe in it. They're pure, hard-nosed, rationalists, and they don't believe in what they can't see. They don't believe in what they can't touch. They don't believe in what they can't eat. They don't believe in what they can't grab, right? That's how they live. So now let's come down to reality. What is reality? Famous story. Told it before. Simple. Man comes into Albert Einstein's office after Einstein was famous for the theory of relativity. E equals MC squared, right? Mass times the speed of light squared. And he says, he let him in. Obviously, he was a professor of some kind, even to get near him. So he says, Herr Einstein, I understand what you mean by your theory of relativity. Nothing exists. It's all a dream. As the story goes, Einstein stands up and slaps the man in the face and says, is that reality? So in other words, at a certain point, you can talk all you want about what's real and what's false. You turn a corner and three thugs are facing you with guns. At that moment, you have reality. And your reality is run away, pull a gun, call the cops, get on the floor and beg for your life. What choice do you have? Well, that woman in that video I mentioned, three thugs broke into her house in Georgia. And I mean armed. They came in with guns. Look at the video. I put it up on my website. She comes out blasting. And they ran like cockroaches when you turn a light on in the kitchen. They ran out of there with guns. They were afraid of her. She went to the front door and continued firing at them. And one of them was laying on the ground. She shot him again. Then you see her dumb husband come out of the bedroom at 4 in the morning, like half asleep. What's going on, hon? In his pajamas. What's going on, hon? She was ready for him. Amazing woman. She knew what reality was. Annie Oakley reached for her gun. She didn't consult her Ouija board. She didn't blow her whistle and call the ACLU. She reached for Smith, and Smith was there when she needed it. So maybe that's why I dreamed about the gun thing. What do I know? But I haven't gotten one call that I really wanted. I have not gotten a call from people who don't own guns. I really would love a lib from Manhattan to call me. A real beauty. I'm talking about a real good lib from New York. Because I have an image of you. I know just what you look like. I grew up with you. And I know you don't own guns because you are... Look, you may be a nice... Here's the thing about liberals you don't know. Most of them are very nice people. And they're fun to be with. They're not bad people. A lot of them are just misinformed. They don't really know the big picture. They don't. They think they do. And they stick to the textbook version of what reality is. Or the law book definition of what reality is. And they want to be nice. And they want to get along. And they want to be compassionate. But a lot of them are very, very frightened day and night. They're terrified. So you say, no, Savage, the reverse is true. People who own guns are the real frightened guys. They're terrified. They're paranoid. They live in fear. That's why they own guns. All right, have it any way you want. So let me ask you another question. A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, you're walking in a mall in Minneapolis. A Somali Muslim pulls out a kitchen knife and starts slashing people, and you're next. He slashes eight people, and I don't mean just slash like a paper cut. Carved them up, dug the knife in and turned it. Oh, it's in his Bible. He asked them, are you a Muslim? They said, no, he carved them up. He got it from somewhere to get it out of the air. That him reality is the book, the holy book. He knows nothing else, this throwback. The throwback knows nothing but a literal interpretation of a single book. In that sense, he's a 9th century throwback who never should have been allowed in this country. But that's not my problem. I'm asking a rhetorical question. So he's now knifed 7, 8 people, and then you're next, and he's coming at you with a knife. And you have a gun. What do? You get on your knees and beg the Somali not to kill you? You tell him you like the Quran? You tell him you eat pita bread? Don't kill me, I'm on your side? Or you shoot him like the off-duty sheriff did who teaches tactical training? Not only did he shoot him once, but the bum got up and he had to shoot him twice. Then the bum got up again. He had to shoot him a third time. You have no idea, unless you've studied these training videos, what it takes to actually kill a man in most cases who's trying to kill you. It's not one shot, boom, and he's down. That's not the way it works. Look at a boxing match. Have you ever seen how many times they hit each other, how hard they hit each other? Well, any one of us got hit by a trained boxer, we'd be dead with one punch. Never forget that. They're different. They're like superhuman in the ability to take pain and not go down. But that's separate. There's a lot of people out there who are like Frankenstein. And what you will learn in a training film when you ask yourself and question why police usually empty the clip on a suspect, meaning if you pull and you shoot to kill. You say, why can't they shoot to wound? You have to study the training films to understand that. If an armed person is coming at you, whether it be with a knife or a gun, you cannot negotiate that by shooting him in the foot. or shooting him in the hand. That's a movie version. That's something that, on whatever the movie maker is, I forget his name today, Harvey, whatever, another Harvey from Hollywood who grew up in Flushing. I don't remember his name. I don't know. But you can't shoot him in the hand and the gun falls out. That's for one of the fake actors to do. Cop knows he has to empty the clip and usually shoot at the same hole and make the hole as big as he can. I know it's a what? That's right. You aim at one particular spot and you empty your clip on that spot and you widen the opening in the person's body until they bleed to death so they don't kill you. I know it's horrible, but ask a soldier how they're trained to kill. Now you understand why we're talking about this. I'll be back to take your calls on if you own three guns or more, why? If you own no guns, why? Because it's Friday. And because it's Friday, we're going to ask the question for a little bit more and then move on to all the rock and roll and the news and the views and the reviews that you've come to expect from the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I... Now they burn a city down. You understand? Stop it. Stop. No one understands what I'm getting at. How is it that black kids could do this, could climb out of the gutter and take their talent? Well, they do now, I guess, with rap music. It's the version of it. How is it they could do it without shooting somebody, without burning and looting? How is that possible? How are they told differently today when you have a man who allegedly is one of them from their world? Why does he not stop them? Answer, because his good buddy who put him in office, George Soros, funds the riots, in my opinion, in my estimation, to the best of my knowledge. He funds Black Lives Matter. The outside agitators, the National Lawyers Guild, the ACLU, come from out of state and stir him up to cause the riots. Throw him in jail! Arrest the National Lawyers Guild when they cross state lines. Throw the vermin from the ACLU in prison when they cross state lines. How's that for an opening?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
West 115th Street neighborhood. Same neighborhood that brought us the Five Crowns, Five Willows, and the Harptones. Here are some kids with no money, no nothing. A street corner, untrained youngsters. They go from a street corner to a recording studio to Harlem's legendary Apollo Theater in just a few weeks. What's happened to America, I want to know? How do we go from the bop chords to the pop chords in one generation? How do we go from the bop chords to Charlotte in one generation? Tell me what's changed. Oh, you know, there are many answers to that question. It'll require an entire school to finish that one. And you'll, of course, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, you'll answer it one way or the other. But the fact of the matter is, these songs defined an entire generation. From nothing to everything. They only made three records, that's all. Three records. They came from nothing. One of them was born in South Carolina. He was 25-year-old Lawrence Danny Robinson. And he was 12 years younger than his brother Bobby. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. What's the difference? The point is, these kids had talent. They created a record from a street corner, and they hit it big, three records. The first record sold more than 150,000 copies. It made local charts on the East Coast. And July 26th of 56, the Bop Chords debuted at the Apollo Theater with the Cadillacs, Laverne Baker, and others. And their costumes, what were they? White jackets, red Nehru collars, gold stripes, black trousers, red slippers. America loved them. No one said, oh, they're black, therefore we don't, or yeah, they're black, yes, we do. America loved them. They transcended race. They transcended age. And look what's going on in this country today. Now, the lyrics are about love. It's about a man's love for a woman, an imaginary place, a castle in the sky. Universal thought. Compare it to the verminous lyrics of today. The lyrics of killing people, raping people, murdering people, put out by corporate America. That's right. You heard me. There's a reason that you are seeing violence in this country. There are many, many reasons. And not the least of which is the entertainment industry itself and the turn it took for the worse. You can say drugs did it. You can say the lyrics did it. You can say anything you want did it. You can blame anyone you want, but the world is not a better place. It's a worse place. I'm not going to fix it by playing this song by the Bop Chords, but I'm going to enjoy myself on the show today, and I'll reintroduce the question from the first hour because I had a dream about it. Subconscious Savage talked to me last night. I was trying to sleep. It wouldn't leave me alone. Just wouldn't leave me alone. Pestered me while I was sleeping. I had this vivid dream. Even though I read the prayer before going to bed, frankly, I had a terrible night. Even though I read the prayer because I ate Indian food late. Never, ever. Oh, don't get me started. Spicy food before bed, the worst thing you could do. I made the mistake. It was almost 9 o'clock. I made the error of errors. The dump off the highway. Indian food and beer were a great recipe for a nightmare. But look, it produced some creativity. So the inner savage, as I saw it in my inner mind, I'm on the radio, and the question is, if you own 3 guns or more, call the show and tell me why. If you don't own a gun, call and tell us why. It's a good topic. I knew the boards are going to get lit up. I generally avoid gun questions. I know this from the first day in radio. I learned you never do certain topics or you can destroy your show. Third rail. You don't talk about 3 things. 1, guns. You say guns, you're finished. For 3 months, they'll talk about guns. You say UFOs, you wind up in the Philippines with a 10-year-old hooker, and you're off the radio after a number of years. You can't do UFOs. That's an in-joke, by the way, for people who understand the business. There are other topics you can't do, but today I'm violating my own protocols of the history of talk radio, which is I'm doing guns. Because guns are in the news again. Everywhere you turn, guns, 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 guns. Guns can kill, guns can save. I've given you 2 examples. The cop in Tulsa, I said she committed murder. Was I wrong? No, I wasn't wrong. She was indicted for first-degree manslaughter for killing that unarmed black guy. I watched the tape. I'm not blind. I watched the tape the way a jury is going to watch the tape. There were 3 cops next to him talking to him. He had no weapon. She went up and she panicked. The girl cop and shot him. So I said she's wrong, she should be indicted for murder. All right, maybe it was a little too harsh. It is murder as far as I'm concerned. The guy had no weapon. If someone comes up to you with a gun and shoots you, what would you call that, love? That's manslaughter? That's first-degree murder. Now, if he had reached in and there was a gun, it's another story. There was no gun. I am not talking about the other Charlotte story, of the one where they did show a gun. And the wife screaming, don't shoot my husband. That's a whole different story. I'm talking about the female cop. She panicked. She shouldn't have been a cop to begin with. They hired her, no doubt, because they were forced to by the ACLU or some other left-wing group that said you need to be more diverse. You're a racist police force. You're too many white males who've returned from combat zones who actually know how to defend people and how to use guns. We can't have that. No, no, put some women in who never fired a gun. We'll teach him how to use a gun. Who's teach him? Oh, we'll get him a teacher. We're good at the ACO. We know all about guns. As they go, and run off and take their medication and then fly back to New York. The outside agitators. Oh, I have a vision of America, boy. I have a vision of America, my friends. It's not the vision you might see on the nightly news. So Monday's the big night, huh? The 90-minute job. No breaks allowed. Now she wants a stool. All right, I don't understand that part of it. I mean, what, she wants to look as tall as him? They could suspend her from, like, Peter Pan wires instead of a stool. That way she could fly over his head. I'm quite surprised that Sidney Blumenthal hasn't demanded that they get Harvey Weinstein to stage a debate where she comes in flying on a set of wires and lands like an angel with a set of wings, too. Maybe angel with wings, and then she lands on top of Trump's head. And says, I will slay thee, dragon. God. What do you mean she needs a stool? What does she need a stool for? Why don't they just... I have a better idea than giving Hillary a stool for the debates on Monday. Why don't they just insist that Trump kneel during the debate? That he actually perform on his knees? Well, that would be fair and equal, wouldn't it? Why should God have made someone taller than another person? It's not fair. It's just not fair. And because he was given this white privilege of height, or the privilege of height. I guess it's height privilege, not white. God. No, God gave Trump height privilege, not white privilege. And I think that Hillary has every right to ask that his height privilege be balanced with him performing during the debates on his knees. Or she can come in on a wire, you know. It's not, it's a little kind of obtusely funny in its own way. Try to imagine that you're in a different setting than you are right now listening to the show. I admit it's a little too early for this kind of stuff. I mean, if this was 10 o'clock at night, you had a few drinks, it would be funny. But in the middle of the day, it's not that funny. I haven't even eaten lunch yet. Out on the West Coast, it's not even 15 after 1. On the East Coast, it's already a quarter after 4. So they're already marching somewhere, ready for the night. I don't know what, I don't even imagine, you've got to imagine your audiences where they are all over the country. I try to do like two things, east-west, but look, there's a lot of stations in between. I'm not trying to, you know, be rude to you. You got the Texas area, you got the Midwest. Now I'm like caricature now. I mean, how do you define what people are doing when they're listening to the show? Some are on podcast. I don't know when they're listening, where, like in a car. You have to imagine, you have to project. Prison cells, cars, living rooms, secretly at work, while working, they have the earbuds on, listening to the show. Every imaginable way people are listening to radio, to talk radio. Now, I know most of you are tuned in for the election, and you don't follow. If you're new to radio, you don't know what I'm doing. So who is this guy? What's he talking about? What's with the God and the doo-wop and the this and the wires and the thing? Get down to facts, guy. Who are you? Tell us about the debate. Tell us who's winning. Read the facts. That's not the kind of show I do. That's not what I do. If you'll listen a little longer, you'll find out that there's a little more in life than that view of things, and I try to do it my own way. So here we are, nevertheless, hour two, Savage Nation, Monday the debates. Here's the conundrum I'm in. I'm offered to go to New York on Monday with someone who's flying there in his private jet. And I really want to go. I mean, I want to see my publisher. I want to have the victory dinner. And then I want to see my agent. I want to have the victory dinner. It's like those trips for guys. Like the I'm like an out-of-towner now. I'm like a rube from the provinces. So every time I go to New York, it's always like these dinners, you know, like this. You go to the great restaurants, you know, the food's not that good, but it's enjoyable. Loud, buzz, everyone's a star behind their car. Everyone's a big shot in New York. Every restaurant, everyone's got a deal going, a deal pending, a deal that they just concluded. Everyone just sold a 14,000-square-foot loft that they made $23 million in 3 days by flipping it in the other table. A guy just produced it. It's wonderful to listen to the blarney. Same when I go to Beverly Hills. It's like, it's fun for 3 days. When I come back home, it's me alone in a dump Indian restaurant at 9 o'clock at night off a highway with trucks zooming by because the food is better. I don't have to listen to anybody. I can't stand it. I don't like restaurant talk. But I can't go Monday. That's the point of the story. Even though it's like they'll pick me up and take me to New York, landing at Teterboro, which is always a kick. I mean, if you grew up in the East Coast, and then you fly back into Teterboro, and you come in over Manhattan, it's like Sully. I mean, it's like every time I go there, I feel like Sully landing in Teterboro. I haven't seen the movie yet. I don't want to go to that movie, Sully. I've seen it 100 times on television already. Like, there's no drama in the movie, Sully. I think that's why it's like not doing well. Secondly, he's a white male hero. We can't have that. Thirdly, there's no gun in it. So we can't have that one. So we know that, I mean, there's no tension. We know he's going to land the plane safely on the Hudson, and you're going to see the moron ferry boat captain almost run everybody over. And what's the point of that? Actually, the movie I want to see is Snowden, but I don't want to see that either, because that'll support Oliver Stone, who I think is an all-around terrible human being. After destroying America with his movies, now he's bellyaching that, oh, Obama's built a surveillance state worse than the Stasi. Really, Oliver, where were you before you produced this movie? So I'm not going to go to see Snowden. It's a snow job. So I'd like to go to, here's the point, is I'd like to go to New York Monday. It's only a 4.5-hour flight. And you land in Teterboro, then I go to the hotel the first night to dinner. I got the whole thing in my head. But I'm not going, because if I go on Monday, aren't the debates Monday? Wait a minute, what am I talking about? The debates are Monday night. Robert, aren't the debates Monday night? Oh, so I could go. Oh, they're flying Tuesday, that's the problem. Right. If they were flying Monday, I could go. But because they're flying Tuesday, I can't go. Could you imagine turning the show on Tuesday and I have no one here to fill in? You'd kill me for it. You know that it's going to be like, oh, he did this, she did that. You're right, you're wrong, she's going to win, he's going to win, right? I got to be here. And if I fly, how am I going to be? I can't be here. And no one's flying early enough for me to get to New York and do the show from a studio on West whatever street. That's all. So I'll be here. I'll do my regular life. That's all. I won't go. I'll go another time. I'll go commercial. I'll get Zika. I'll get, you know, hepatitis. I'll get malaria on the plane. I'll get frisked by someone off a subway car. Someone just released from San Quentin in a work program. Someone in a burqa who can hardly see out of the slits will frisk me behind my... It's unbelievable, America, today. Really, it's a great place to live, truthfully. So now, having said that, I know many of you are holding on the gun thing. I got so many calls, I don't know what to do with this. All right, let's take one. Rick on WABC on the gun question. How many do you own and why?
I own 37 different firearms, Mr. Savage. All different types. Every one of them has a different purpose. So I got a lot of antique firearms. I'm a small-time collector. Some of the other ones that I have are everything from AR-15s, AK-47s, high-powered sniper rifles to 9mm high point with frag.
But wait, hold on. Now, I hear you, but you don't live in New York, right? You don't live in the city of New York.
I don't live in the city. No, sir. I work down there. Actually, I probably lost her on the radio by now, so I'm already upstate. But I live upstate New York.
So in upstate New York, you're allowed to own these guns legally?
Yes, sir.
In New York, the Sullivan Law prohibits the ownership of a handgun, correct?
I don't know about the Sullivan Law. I know in the county that I live in, which is Dutchess County, you can file for a pistol permit, and Dutchess County issues full carry permit in New York State to Dutchess County residents, and you can carry anywhere in New York State except the five boroughs.
Like, give me the area, like Dutchess County. Well, like, give me some cities in Dutchess.
I live actually northeast of Poughkeepsie.
Oh, yeah, Poughkeepsie. That was always like a weird county to me.
Massachusetts.
I never got, like, Dutchess County was like foreign to me. That's like, to me, if I go north of San Rafael where I live, it's like Dutchess County. I confuse all the cities. I can't figure it out. It's not even north out here. Certain areas I don't go. Like, my range is San Francisco, basically to about San Rafael is as far as I can go. If you take me beyond San Rafael, like Nevada was like Dutchess County, I'm not knocking it. I just don't go there. I don't understand the area that well. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So here are the Ten Commandments of Liberalism in Scorched Earth, page 117. Man is evil in poisoning the earth. The earth is a living organism and needs to be protected. All white people are racist. All people of color are good. All refugees should be allowed in and given whatever they want. If people make too much money, it should be taken from them. Government handouts have no price tag. Nature should be protected at all costs unless you don't like your gender. Burning the American flag, yeah, is protected speech. All players on the international stage have equal credibility. And so our brainwashed drug youth cast their brainwashed, drugged youth votes. We have immigrants who want things for free who are being legitimized in an illegitimate way. Jerry Brown, for example, has allowed the Department of Motor Vehicles in California to automatically register illegal aliens. So they guarantee not a one-party system, which is what we already have in California, but a no-party system, just an autocrat having a big party. This is the dissolution of democracy itself under the guise of diversity. Diversity is destroying democracy. That, my friends, is page 117 of the best-selling book, Scorched Earth, worth the price of admission for that page alone. Don't you think?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
When the chrome was thick and the women were straight. That's right. Another time in American history. So before I take callers on the gun issue, I've got George on BOB who doesn't want to own a gun, and I want to take him. I've got to play a soundbite. The rogue president gave a speech that I picked up off CNN where he says U.S. sovereignty is overrated, and we should cede our freedoms to the United Nations. Now, I told you before, he is a rogue president. He is the enemy within. That if a foreign power had invaded America and imposed, put a dictator in, he could not have done more damage in the time that Obama has done this damage, because there would have been an armed rebellion. See, if a foreign government had invaded America and tried to impose, let us say, a proxy leader, there would have been an armed revolution in this country. It's not sure that they would have won either. no matter how well armed they are, this country is armed to the teeth, and not everybody's going to roll over as they're doing in France or in England, where they've been disarmed and they have no First Amendment rights to begin with. There'd be a fight in this country, and there's not a guarantee that a foreign power would have won. But the progressive Islamist front is so clever that they found the perfect character to invade us with. And now in his last month, he's actually pulling his mask off slowly, and we're seeing the actual Frankenstein underneath. Let's not go through the litany of things he has done illegally that should have indicted him a long time ago. Listen to him in clip one, and listen carefully.
We can only realize the promise of this institution's founding to replace the ravages of war with cooperation if powerful nations, like my own, accept constraints. Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms and multilateral institutions. But I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action,
can you believe
not
this?
Giving up our ability to protect ourselves or pursue our core interests, but
you're a liar.
Binding ourselves to international rules over the long term enhances our security.
In other words, like binding ourselves to international rules. You mean the kind of hate speech rules that Angela Merkel, Hitler's descendant, has imposed on German people, now criminalizing any criticism of the Muslim invasion? Is that what you mean, Barry? Okay, I mean, there it is. I mean, what can I say to you? You wonder why people are armed to the teeth with this rogue president in power? They don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. He could bring the UN army into your town and disarm you. That's what he's basically saying, international rules, international norms, accept constraints. What do you think he's saying? What do you think he means by that? George W. B.O.B. on the gun issue, you're calling out of Jacksonville, you don't own guns. Why not, George? Tell us why.
Michael, it's storage, insurance, and safety are the main issues, although there's ancillary issues of maintenance and also keeping yourself proficient. I'm a lifelong Republican, age 75. Trump supporter, and I'm a volunteer in the sheriff's department down here, but I truly don't think that I want to do this. They ask me questions on my insurance about guns. The doctor wants to know whether we've got guns in the house. I mean, it's just getting totally crazy. And frankly, I wouldn't know where to store the thing or if I needed it. Would it be loaded? You know, it's just all this stuff.
Let me ask George. I'm not here to convince you to buy a gun. I'm not selling guns. Do you have children in the house?
I do not. I have grandchildren in another state.
Are you afraid that... Well, what are you afraid... I heard what you said about insurance and this and that, but I don't quite buy it 100%. Are you sort of afraid to have the gun?
There was a tragic situation in my wife's family many, many years ago involving a gun. I'll leave it at that. And,
all right. That's fair enough. There are traumas that are permanent that one should not fight. And I'm not here to tell you that you should own a gun or not own a gun. So you have your reasons to avoid having one in your house. And frankly, it's a refreshing reason because you didn't mask it in any other way. And that's why I asked the question, if you don't own guns, why? And here you are on the right side of things, and you also don't own a gun, and you explain why. But don't you worry in the world in which we live with groups like what you are seeing going on in Charlotte and whatnot, rioting. Don't you wish you had some way to protect yourself?
Oh, sure. Sure. But I'm not sure that I would be trained or know, how to use it. Well, would it be oiled? Would it be ready to go at the moment I needed it?
Well, let me put you at ease. The best home defense weapon you can ever get is not a handgun. It's a shotgun. A shotgun is the greatest deterrent for not only a single individual breaking into your house, but a multitude of individuals. Moreover, it's virtually always ready to go. All you got to do is pull it once, if you have the shells in the chamber, and you can fire it six or seven times. And I don't care who it is who's breaking in, they're going to leave that house as fast as you can imagine. You ask anyone in the tactical business, because you virtually don't even have to be a very good shot with a shotgun. You could be at the top of a staircase, and you could clear out your whole landing with a couple of blasts. Also, it's well known in the police world that the minute an invader hears the cocking of a shotgun, they're going to run out of your house because they know they're going to be really hurt or dead. I'll leave it at that. I'm not selling you any guns. I don't have any advertisers who are in the gun world, so far as I know, which is unto itself crazy. But
I thank you for the call. Let me send you Scorched Earth. I just am very interested in this topic. My subconscious wanted me to ask it. And I'm going to move on to another topic and another after one or two more calls. Is there anyone else who does not have a gun? George is the only caller. Oh, there we go. Peter on WABC in New York. Peter, you don't own a gun. Why?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Similar reasons to George, but you've actually mentioned my reasons. I have a son that's 16, a daughter that's 13. When I moved to Virginia Beach from New York 12 years ago, you know, they were 6 and 2. Now that they're older and I'm comfortable that they would not touch them, I have a granddaughter who's 5 years old that's always in my house, and, you know, a newborn granddaughter. So...
Yeah, no, I listen, hey... Kids have a way of finding things that you hide from them, no matter what it is, wherever you put it.
Right.
Now, it is true that they have lock boxes and this and that, but that, to me, the lock box is stupid. Now, what's the point of having a gun in a lock box? If someone breaks in your house, you're not going to fumble for a key and then load a gun and cock it? It's crazy. You're almost better off without it at that point.
Yeah, I know. My father has 3 guns in a safe that was almost never closed. So what's the point of having a safe if it's not...
Yeah, but with kids today and what kids are today, I don't know. It's pretty dangerous to have guns in a house with young kids around. They could find it and really kill themselves or really blow... You know, they could, or if they're a teenager, they could take the gun and use the gun somewhere without your knowledge or just brandish it just to look tough. You know, that is a real issue.
And I'm actually not concerned about my own son because, believe it or not, my 16-year-old son is a huge fan of yours.
I'll be very honest with you. I've had guns in my house legally, of course, even when my children were very young, and I never had an issue. In fact, I took my son to gun ranges when he was a little boy, and I taught him how to use an AR-15 when they were legal here. We would go out to the Circle S Ranch out near Petaluma, and we'd shoot from a long distance, and I love hearing that gong from that long distance. And it was all legal. He never, you know, had a problem with the gun. You can teach a child to respect the weapon as well, by letting him use it, even if you're a city slicker originally, like I am. So it's up to the individual. They know themselves and they know their situation better than anyone can tell them, and they have to go with their own instincts on it. But I don't know, in the world in which we live today, I think that a person needs to consider some type of home defense weapon. And forget the idea of a stun gun or pepper spray. That's not going to work on a crazy person who breaks into your house. It just won't work. It's just known it's nonsense to think it's going to work. You look at what the cops have to put up with. Some of these people are so deranged on medication, or they're so inherently immune to these things, that it just doesn't work on them. So their lives are at risk. All right, S.E. goes out to you. See, I won't even mention the book so I don't get criticized. I will not say Scorched Earth on this program today. I will only say S.E., because I know what's going to happen this week, and many of you are waiting for the weekend to go to the bookstore and buy it. I get it. It was number 4 on the New York Times list for its first week. Even though it's really number 2, they make it number 4 because they don't want you to see that there are 2 books that are written by people on the right side of things, 1 and 2. One is about World War II, for those of us who listen to Guy Lombardo music and like to watch World at War and see when America was victorious. I could see living in the past. It's very comforting. But my book is about the scorched earth policies of the rogue president. Moreover, what she will do if she becomes president. It's really, really aimed right at this election. Because if she wins, she is going to magnify the meltdown of this nation. He just gave it away again. I played the soundbite. He said he wants to give up our sovereignty to the UN. He wants us to accept constraints. He wants to give up freedoms. He wants to bind ourselves to international rules. Well, let me ask you something. If the woman running for president, who needs a stool at the debate, becomes the world leader, are you telling me she is not going to continue on this road of the demise of the United States of America? By the time she gets through with us, there'll be no American flags permitted. They will be relegated to the dustbin of history. She will say the American flag is offensive to our new immigrants who find it oppressive and a symbol of the white male. And she will ban the American flag as the Confederate flag is now illegal in so many places in America. So that's why I say there's so much at stake. Clinton demands a step stool at debate to add height. I mean, there's so many jokes about this. I mean, I don't do late night television, but I mean, it's an easy joke. What do you mean, a step stool? Short Hillary wanted to debate tall Trump on a step stool, but was turned down, and she won't get commercial breaks for coughing fits or fainting spells. Oh, the Daily Mail reported it. The Clinton campaign asked the Commission on Presidential Debates to give her a step stool so she wouldn't look much shorter than Donald Trump. Clinton stands 5'4", nearly a foot shorter than Trump's 6'2". The commission turned down her request, but is allowing a custom-built podium to minimize Trump's height advantage. God. There will be no commercial breaks during the 90-minute debate Monday night, leaving Clinton on camera if she faints or has a coughing. Oh, God, that's terrible. What do you mean, no breaks? You know what, if she goes into one of the, you know, succlemp jobs, if she starts doing a succlemp and Homer runs out with a glass of water and, well, tissues, Anthony will come out with the tissues. Oh, God, that's terrible. No, I mean, say, Homer would bring the water, but if she needed tissues, Anthony would be in the wings because he knows about Kleenex. I'm sure about that. That's funny. Come on, that's a funny joke. Even my board op finally laughed after 6 years. He finally broke into laughter. So the stool is funny. That's a funny joke. Custom podium. Going to get breaking news. The Drudge Report alerted for Friday morning. I don't know. Well, you could argue that there's nothing wrong with the stool. Because as I said earlier, and I'm not kidding, and I wish people really listened to me and quoted me because it's quite funny. Trump does not have white privilege necessarily, although that could be our. He has height privilege. And I think that Clinton is 100% right for saying that he has height privilege, and she has every right to a stool. And I think that his height privilege needs to be addressed, because we should have fairness. Absolute fairness. Even Bernie is taller than her. He's a good sixer. Or is he another one on the oh, God, could you imagine it was between Bernie the Seltzer Man and Donald Trump? What a debate that would be. Remember the beginning there was Rubio, Trump, Ted Cruz, and the other one, the angry one, Kasich. He's always gritting his jaw. Kasich looks so pissed off, and he had his hands clenched like an angry boy, Kasich. Always was clenched. I don't mean succlemped like her, I mean clenched, clenched. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to clench my fist till one of my mother's friends said, do you know it's impolite to clench your fist? I didn't even know I had my fist clenched. But I was always getting picked on when I was a kid. I'd have clenched fists to be ready. I was smaller than some of the other kids. I was ready, you know, I was like on the draw. Concussion, thrombosis, allergies, double vision, hypothyroidism, fractured elbow, pneumonia, blood clots, thrombosis. It's terrible. Who was not going to watch that Monday night? Tell me which brain-dead person is not watching it. How can I not be on the air Tuesday? If I was not on the air, you'd hate me. That's it. I have to be here, so I'm not going to New York. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So there's a great video going around, woman with gun blasts home invaders in Georgia. You have to watch it. I put it up on MichaelSavage.com. I linked it on Facebook. An armed home invader is dead, and police are hunting for two others after they broke into a house in Gwinnett County, Georgia, early Friday, and were fired upon by a woman inside the home with a gun. They say she exercised the right to defend herself, which she did. Now, there's three armed guys. Forget the race. It doesn't matter. I know you're thinking. She happens to be Asian, by the way. She took no prisoners. She came out blasting. They ran out like cockroaches when you turn a light on in the kitchen. They got terrified. See, they're used to threatening and overpowering people. They never expected anyone to fight back. And they ran. She killed one of them. He was on the ground. And she gave him a taste of lead as he lay on the ground. It's on WorldNet Daily, by the way. Surveillance cameras captured deadly encounters with three armed intruders. Who knows what they were doing there, why they picked on the house. You could see it on my Facebook thing. Corporal Dion Washington of the Gwinnett County Police Department said she exercised her right to defend her livelihood and property. Bingo. To go tell that to Obama. Minute after they enter, a woman appears from behind a stack of boxes in the front room and begins blasting. The ricocheting bullets causing chunks of drywall to scatter through the air. The invaders take off running, with two racing out the front door while another scrambles through the kitchen and out the back of the home. crashing through a sliding glass door in the process. It's an amazing video. This woman should be given a Medal of Freedom or something. Or invited to the NRA. They should invite her to the NRA to give a speech of some kind. Whatever. Who knows? I'll be here for another hour. God knows what I'm going to talk about. Not guns. I'm going to go into maybe dinner, the Indian food and its effect on my dreams. Who knows what? I don't know what. The news, the... Oh, the podium with the stool. That's a big story. If she starts coughing, she's a goner.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Since the show, we've been talking about guns. Please, let's move on from the guns. I had a dream. The dream said, ask them if you own three guns or more, call and tell us why. If you do not own a gun, call and tell us why. And we've done it. So I'd like to move on to other topics. I don't know what to ask you. I mean, it's open mic to Mike Friday. Just let's move on from the guns. That's all. So now playing some rock and roll. Play the bop chords. I think they like that better. That was a kind of new pull.
Ooh.
I want to go back to the... Yeah. Hillary wanted to debate tall Trump on a step stool, but was turned down, and she won't get commercial breaks for coughing fits or fainting spells. Now, everyone listening to the show is going to watch the debate Monday night. And we learned today from the Drudge Report that the Clinton campaign asked the Commission on Debates to give her a step stool so she wouldn't look shorter than Donald Trump. I jokingly said that he definitely has an advantage. He has height privilege. And we all know we want equality in America, and it's unfair that some people are taller than others. Let's be clear. And I think that maybe she should be given a stool because of a Trump's height privilege, but the commission said no. But they will give her a custom-built podium. We don't know if the podium will have certain sprays that you can hit, like nozzles, that will give vaporized various anti-cough remedies. We also learned that there'll be no commercial breaks Monday night. During the 90-minute debate, no commercial breaks. And that's panicking the Clinton camp, because if she goes into one of her paroxysms, or she, God forbid, she faints yet, you know, that's it. There is no net. That's number two. But there's more to this story. This is pretty amazing. I don't know how they let... there's more coming. In addition to the above, debate moderator Les Holt, who anchors NBC Nightly News. I like Lester Holt myself. He's been around, I think, forever. Lester Holt will not have the power to instruct cameramen to cut away from the stage if Clinton finds herself physically compromised during the 90-minute debate. That's a long debate. That's the first of three showdowns before the November 8 election. Now, wait. And microphone audio for either of the candidates is not to be manipulated, Drudge reported. Microphone audio for either of the candidates is not to be manipulated, so they can't cover for her. Meaning if she starts coughing, they can't suddenly cover it up with something. That's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, let's hope that she doesn't cough and she doesn't collapse. I'd like to hear her express her viewpoints, frankly. So let's see what else is in this story. She's not around, by the way. She lost her voice again. She canceled a few appearances. And so she's requesting a stool. Why are they penalizing Trump, by the way, making him use a custom-built podium to minimize his height advantage? So what if he has height privilege? He has height privilege. I mean, it's the way God made it. People like tall. I don't know if she can even stand for the full 90 minutes. She has not stood for more than 20 minutes in the last month at any of her rallies. And those appearances are all very highly scripted and very short in length. We don't know, but everyone's watching. Wow, this whole thing is now about height and stool. A height and a stool. What the world has come to. It all hinges on a stool and on height. All right, look, you want to? What can you say about that? You'd rather talk about Brad Angelina breaking up? I mean, I don't know. This crazy story, how she made up the story that he abused the children. Look what the wives do. After years of marital, I wouldn't say bliss or harmony, I'm doing like a complete jump here. But again, I got pulled into the side panel on the Daily Mail. I can't help it. It's the media world that I live in. I'm reading this about the debate, and I'm looking at the side panel. Brad in there playing fight code on camera, abuse allegations, blah, blah, blah. She screamed at his teenage son. That's not a beating him up. Exclusive. Inside Brad Pitt's strict religious childhood and the hardline family pastor who preaches corporal punishment. You see, they're trying to like, oh, they're smearing the guy. I heard he hangs out with the father, Ray Donovan, Midnight Cowboy. He likes the father better than the wife. Who can blame him? What else do you want to talk about? I don't know. What else is in the news out here? It's not that interesting. Stupid, these side panels. Barbara Streisand unleashes on Donald Trump. What a joke that is. Calling him a bigot? She's the most bigoted person I've ever seen. She calls him a misogynist? Is she crazy? What would you say? What kind of ist is she? Barbara Streisand is an Americanist. No, that would mean she likes America. Misogynist. We have to do some kind of ist for Barbara. Come on, she's irrelevant. Barbara Streisand. What else do we have? I'm on the side panel now. I'm so not interested in the debate. I will watch it. I will. I can't wait to watch that. That's going to be some debate to watch. Picture exclusive. Jennifer Aniston looks solemn in New York as her ex Brad Pitt's life implodes amid divorce and child abuse. Alert. What does she look? What has she got to do with this? Just an excuse to get in the news. What do they wear ripped dungarees for? Is that a sexy look? I remember when they first came out. You know, it was in the 90s that the ripped jeans came out. The first time I saw them, I thought it was a poor woman on a ferry. I went up and gave her a dollar. I thought she couldn't afford a pair of pants. They were fashionable. What is so hot about a pair of ripped dungarees? I don't understand this. Now we'll go back to the main story. Hillary Clinton collapses, leaving the 9/11 memorial. Now I'm bouncing over to the right panel again. Oh, they're coming here from England? No, they're coming over to Canada. They're going to stay in a Canadian mansion. Big deal with a hairdresser. Why is that a story? The prince or whatever of England, who are they? Don't even work for a living. The prince and this one and Kate and Schmate. I am so anti-royal, you have no idea. I was raised that way. My father was a Russian. He hated royal people from royal background. You know, I guess there's a tinge of the commie in him. So inside the 13-bedroom mansion with a 36-acre garden, private chef, and a totem pole where Kate and William will stay during the Canadian tour. I could care less about that couple. Do they work, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge? Of course not. Inheritance cases. Special legitimate made to make the children more comfortable. How much more comfortable can you get? Features include a fountain filled with rubber ducks and a specially created nursery filled with toys for the spoiled children from England. The Canadian PM, Justin Trudeau, and his wife, Sophia, spent time kitting out Government House in Victoria in prep for the arrival of Prince George and Princess Charlotte, who stay there during their royal tour. I don't know. 103-year-old house has been, I like the phrase, kitted out. Kitted out. K-I-T-T-E-D, with added features. What is so special about this royal couple? Tell me what's so special about them. I'm starting to resent them. The Duke and Duchess. I don't think, by the way, I've gone into this. I'm going to really get into hot water again, but here we go. I personally think that the whole royal thing is over and that the entire royal family should sell off all their holdings and just disperse it to the treasury. Let them live one more. This generation, only the queen. She's, what, 103? She's not going to find a job. What, she's going to work in a fish and chips shop? She's not fit for anything except waving and coughing into a handkerchief. No, I think after this generation, the money, it's enough already from the stolen, the money from the era of colonialism. Where do you think they got the money from? They invaded nations, killed the natives, and stole the natural resources. So what, she should live in a palace, the rest of her, and them too? I didn't say hurt them. I'm not into that. I'm not a communist. But I'm sorry, it's enough already with the whole royal thing. What did they do to earn this? I have nothing against the kids. Let them go to a good school, a trade school, and learn something useful. They could learn how to repair a car, the kid. If he learned how to even repair a car, it would be better than what he's going to do with the rest of his life. I feel bad for the royal kids when you think about it. I mean, if they just went to a trade school somewhere in England and learned how to, like, repair carburetors and brakes, he'd be more useful to society than just being a showpiece for the parents. I'm not joking. I'm absolutely serious about it. Two children, Princess Charlotte and Prince George. I am not into prince and princesses. I live in America. Yet here, and oh, boy, they come over. They show the outfit. I feel bad for the child. He can't amount to anything. Look at the father, the goon with the big ears. An idiot, a complete moron from inbreeding. What's his name, Robert? The guy with the ears. The environmental nut. Prince whatever. Never worked a day in his life. Prince who? That's Prince Charles, the older one with the ears, the inbred. My father taught me that. He told me when we were, because he came from Russia, so he had those feelings. Not exactly commie, but the thing is, he didn't like the royal thing, the inheritance. He always used to say any kid who, you know, with inheritances winds up a bum. It's not 100% true, but you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Look at Pacific Heights. Look at all supporters of Nancy Pelosi from up there. They don't work. The Gettys, a great family, a great city family. One of the poor children, look what they amounted to. With the inheritance, nothing. Nothing. They don't know how to do a thing in their lives. So he used to say to me, no, they should learn to do something with their lives. He wasn't wrong. And he said, look at what inbreeding does. And he pointed to Prince Charles. He was a young boy, he was a kid at the time. I think we're about the same age, me and the prince. What a struggle I've had. I don't know if he's had any struggles in his life. Look where he wound up. Crazy. Runs around, private this, private that, armies behind him, private royal yacht, royal airplane, and he lectures about global warming. And sits there and paints on the heath. So you give him a paintbrush, and he sits there all day long like an idiot savant. Then he comes home for tea, I would imagine. What does he do? How does that guy do anything? You know, I often wonder about the private lives of guys like that. Do they have a private life? What can the prince do in private? Nothing. What a curse that is. Imagine having no private life. You cannot sneeze without the whole world knows about it. Who would want a job like that? It's a terrible job being a figurehead. Okay, look, I'm just rambling on because it's open mic to Mike Friday, so I'm doing an open mic on myself here. That's why I've been playing doo-wop, talking about guns, now royal families. Does anyone understand my shtick? Am I drifting off into my own world as I get more and more successful? Do you think I'm becoming like Apocalypse Now, like the Brando character? That's the funniest line I ever asked. No, it's true. You know, talk shows don't even know where they're at. How would you know? There's no audience there. I'm sitting and staring at three screens, paper, a sleeping dog. There's no one here. You'll see in January when they put a camera in my home studios, I'll have four of them. I'll have four or five cameras, Florida, L.A., San Francisco, wherever else I am. I have the cameras. I don't know if I even want it. There's nobody here with me. So you don't really know if when you're sending what they're receiving. They have no idea what you're talking. Maybe they don't even know what I'm talking about. I think it's funny, but I don't know. Okay, one line I came up with today is hilarious. It won't be quoted by anybody. That Trump does not have white privilege, he has height privilege. That's funny. Savage says Trump has height privilege. That should be a screaming funny headline. No one even heard it. Well, you heard it. You got it for free. But there's some other things I did that was funny. Hillary, instead of giving her stool, she'd get Harvey Weinstein to have her come in on, like, wires. Like Snow White or whatever, like a play. Well, like the Nutcracker, they come in on wires, don't they? She can come in with wings and come down. That's something appropriate for, you know, okay. Whatever, that was funny in its own way, metaphorically. But now I'm into the Apocalypse Now analogy. I'm asking you, do you understand this? There has to be a core of the millions of people who listen. I always figure there's a small core who gets every innuendo of a talk show host, especially someone like me, because I do innuendo. Someone said to me yesterday, you do a Broadway show. When you get up there, your 3 hours like a 3-hour opening every night. How do you do it? How do you come up with a 3-hour original Broadway show every day? I told you, I talk to myself while I'm sleeping. I sleep and my brain is working. It doesn't leave me alone. So I figured, leave me alone already. Look, write it down. I can't write down unless it wakes me up. The inner mind doesn't even wake. I don't even have to wake up anymore to remember my dreams. I used to have to wake up in the middle of the night and keep a pad and pen. Oh, that was a trick I learned I got to tell you that story. How I learned, people don't know how I write so many books because A, I never sleep. Well, I sleep, but my subconscious never sleeps. Does yours sleep? If your subconscious sleeps, it means you're dead. Think about it. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I didn't go. I don't go anywhere anymore. So the prince is coming, huh? Princess Charlotte's first foreign visit. Nice legs. She's a good-looking woman. Nice hair, nice teeth. Where do you meet her? He was the guy, wasn't he? Didn't he do a helicopter tour in the military? At least he's a man, okay. At least he's like a Brit in the old days. Big. She's nice. Where'd he get her? She's like a commoner? Good features, man. I don't know. It says, special meal plans have been submitted to the in-house chef, including a recipe for Prince George's favorite, spaghetti bolognese. Oh, thank God it's not English food, man. I always get colon cancer from, like, no roughage. How do they eat over there? Nothing. Cucumbers. They wanted horrible bowel diseases, constipation over the centuries. But now there's a modern generation. He's eating Italian food. Look at that, how things change. It's very diverse of them, when you think about it. It's a very diverse royal couple. Eat spaghetti bolognese. Took me years to learn how to say that. I love people learning it. They go in a restaurant, bolognese. Bologna, spaghetti bologna. Took me years to learn it's bolognese. I'm a fancy Italian now. Oh, so I was telling you before about writing down. I remember I had such smart people in the distant things of my family. There was always like guys who were so smart. They were like off the whole ken of the family. So one guy was not a direct relative. He was like a brother-in-law's cousin in Brooklyn. And he was an engineer, like a brilliant physicist engineer guy. His name was like Marty or Annie. I know, he was like a weird guy. He looked like Arthur Miller. One of those tall, skinny guys who was always like wiry. You were afraid to talk to him that he might hit you. He looked like a kangaroo could strike for no reason. Like edgy, probably had like he was on the spectrum, I would think. You know, like he'd strike you for no reason. You had to be careful with them. So you didn't like other guys you could like joke with, not this one. So I heard it's like Marty would wake up in the middle of the night, he had a pad next to his bed and write down his ideas. No one in the family understood that. I did. I picked up on that. See, I learned. I always heard like a collateral. I listened to everything. That's why to this day you can't take me anywhere because I hear everything. You take me to a restaurant, a distant conversation, five tables over, I can't take it. That's why I'm good at the radio, like extrasensory perceptions. I see all and I hear all. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855.
I'm trapped in the media. I'm just trapped in the vortex of the media. I start with a serious story with these British tabloids, and then my eye jumps to the right panel, and there was just like tabloids, naked and like bikinis and princes. It's the world we live in. She is pretty good looking. Tough woman. She got a thick neck. I mean, she's tough. Like Welsh? What's her background? It must be some like royal someone. And he's got those teeth, those like, the Kennedys picked up on those like forward teeth. Is it like bad dentures or years of scurvy from no vitamins or something in England that are bringing oranges from the colonies after they killed the natives? Let them harvest the tea and then the lemons. I don't know. Savile Row. At least he was a helicopter pilot. But, I mean, I stick to my main point. They should work for a living. It's enough with the inherited wealth. Well, they say, I'm criticizing myself now in a way you're saying, well, you don't believe Obama, Hillary wants to eliminate increase the inheritance tax. And I said yesterday, I've already paid taxes on my money. Why should I be taxed to leave it to my children, right? But is this the same thing? No, because I worked for my money, and it has been taxed already, any money I may accrue during my lifetime. William and Kate, the ancestors didn't work for their money. They pillaged, number one, and they were never taxed. I think the royals don't pay taxes. What do they pay taxes? No taxes over there for them. So, no, it's not in the violation of my belief system. I can't take the panels. I'm getting off the British papers. I'm up to a story in Acme now. I can't do it. Obama vetoes bill that would let 9/11 families sue Saudi Arabia. There you go. There you go. Let's bring it all home, man. Oh, stooge. A stooge for the Saudis who gave us 9/11. What do you think? Who put him in power? Just happened while we talked here, while I was talking about spaghetti bolognese. This phony, this rogue president, this stealth Islamist, just vetoed a bill that would let 9/11 families sue Saudi Arabia. Why did he do that? Why would he do that? Now, who in the right mind would say that this is the correct thing to do? setting up a potential override by Congress, President Barry the Rogue Obama vetoed a bill today that would have allowed the families of 9/11 victims to sue the government of Saudi Arabia. Obama cited the potential for the popular bipartisan bill to backfire against the U.S. That's nonsense. This bill sailed through both chambers of Congress by voice vote. Okay? And now he's vetoing it. Can you believe this? Now, Congress is expected to move rapidly to try to override Obama's veto, which requires a two-thirds vote in the House and Senate. And a successful override would be the first of Obama's presidency, with lawmakers eager to return home to campaign ahead of the November election. A vote could come as early as Tuesday. What a week that's going to be next week. Debates Monday, a vote Tuesday on this? Senate Majority Leader Mitch the Gullet McConnell said, he's the guy with the gullet that looks like a turkey, said the Senate would take up the override as soon as practicable in this work period. Now, why would he veto this? He said the bill would be detrimental to U.S. national interests. It was overwhelmingly approved by both sides of the aisle. Okay, so he is clearly a front man for the Saudis. Even Senator Upchuck Schumer of New York City, one of the most prominent liberal Democrats urging Obama to sign the bill, predicted that Obama's veto would be swiftly and soundly overturned in Congress. Hey, look, you know that 15 of the 19 hijackers who carried out the attacks were Saudi nationals. And families of the victims spent years lobbying lawmakers for the right to sue the kingdom in U.S. court for any role elements of Saudi Arabia's government may have had in the attacks. So the only people opposing it is Saudi Arabia. Let me ask you something. Why do you think Obama did this? He did this because he is a front man for the Saudi government. Everyone agrees with that. The bill called the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act was passed by both houses of Congress. It had triggered a threat from Saudi Arabia to pull billions of dollars from the U.S. economy if it was enacted. That's nonsense. They would never do that. Never in a million years. They need us more than we need them. In fact, if we started to drill in America and build a pipeline in America and do some offshore drilling in America, the Saudis can go pound sand. But that's what's going on right now. So if you ever doubted who Obama was, there's clear evidence now that this is it. But I want to get back to something else. The reason I'm here with you in this third hour is because I'm here with you in the third hour, because it's a three-hour show, so I'm here with you in the third hour. This is one of the shows I don't want it to end. I'm almost afraid of it. It's like, if it ends, the next stop is Monday, the debates. When are the debates? Monday night. Oh, so I'm going to be on the air with no debates. It's all they're going to talk about all day long. Oh, God. Wolf Blitzer will have the clock ticking, and the other schmuck will be sitting there with a minute hour until the debate. It'll start tomorrow yet. They'll start tonight, the idiots in the media have nothing to cover. They already forgot the Muslim terror attacks of a week ago. The New York bomb, the dumpster bomb they buried. The Somali Muslim was stabbed. That was forgotten. They're gone already. That's the clock. The clock and the stool. You know, 19 hours and 43 minutes and 12 seconds till the stool. I don't know. See, that's why I can't wait. I don't want the show to end because there's nothing to do until Monday. It's like the world is empty without the media. It's so exciting to be in this business. I know many of you are jealous of me because you know I'm so successful, especially the people who dreamed of having a career like this. And you resent anything I say. You say it's wrong. But you know that I'm not wrong in everything I say. And the fact of the matter is, being in the media is the most exciting business in the whole world. There's nothing more exciting that I could do. I mean, I couldn't be a special forces paratrooper. That might have been more exciting, but I couldn't do it. It's not me. I admire those guys. A cop, let's say, like on the front lines of America today might be fun. Going into bad neighborhoods, you know, and risking your life for no reason. That's a very exciting job. Fireman in San Francisco, great job. Do your job and get sued. Put a woman into a fire department here in Chinatown. She sued within 3 minutes for sexism. And, of course, the fire chief, Mary Jo White, backed her up, taking all the men out of the fire department over there in Chinatown. Great time to be a man in America, that's right. I guess because of gender privilege. So I want to go back to something I mentioned before, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, Apocalypse Now. I said to you before, I asked you actually to wait. In the talk radio business, you're alone basically in the room.
Now, if you're in a studio, in a radio station, it's different. People walk by the glass, you know, you see their faces. They're walking to the sports station. Like here in San Francisco, KSO is part of an 8-station cluster. So I haven't been there recently, but if you do it there, it's different because people look in on you while you're talking. You're like in a cage, like a glass cage. It's like a porpoise at SeaWorld. And like walk by, you don't even know who they are, like a mailman, you don't know, like it'd be a host of a radio show. They walk by and they look in, sometimes they get a sneer, sometimes they smile, but at least you're part of life, there's like a flow. But when you're doing a show out of a home studio, which I do, my whole house is a studio, my entire life is a green room. Everything in my life is a green room around the radio show. The toilet is part of the bedroom, the refrigerator, the stove, it's all part of the green room. You take a guy like in the business, Glenn Beck. He's he's taking a dive. All these guys, they rose so high like Icarus and their feathers fell off. 300 employees around them. Unbelievable, the megalomania. While criticizing politicians for being megalomaniacal. Tough word, by the way. Well pronounced, Mike. Good one. Late in the show. Nice pronunciation. Megalomania. I can't even repeat it. I did it right the first time. It was like an intelligence test. I was told when I was young, always go for the first answer. It's usually right. When the minute you try to like, you're wrong if you correct it. I can't even repeat it again. I cannot pronounce megalomania. I can't do it again. It came out right the first time. I can't even do it again. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're working alone in talk radio, is anyone following me? Make believe is a live audience out there. If you're listening to this show somewhere in America, can you at least signal that you know what I'm talking about? Apocalypse Now, working alone as a talk show host. I'm starting to think that maybe I'm so into my subject and what I'm doing that it's like Apocalypse Now, like Brando, I've gone upriver. Or am I connecting with you? I must be connecting with you because Scorched Earth is a raging bestseller. So someone is hearing me, even when I go into one of these altered states of consciousness. But no, not a caller on it. Like a dead zone. Nothing. No one hears me. I don't understand this. This is the most interesting part of being a talk show host is the questioning. But I think right now it's so hyper-partisan and so, like, focused on the coughing fits and the stool and all of that. No one really wants to hear anything else. I can't wait for the election to be over already. I'd even take her. I don't want her to win, but I can't wait. Even if Grandma won, I get a reprieve for 3 months to plan my escape. No, if Grandma wins in November, I'm thinking about it. I got to start thinking. Like, where am I going? What am I? Everyone's not leaving the country. There's nowhere to go. I'm not Barbara Streisand. Where am I going to go? To New Zealand? Who wants to live in New Zealand? Everyone's like fleeing to New Zealand. I spent a lot of years in the Fiji Islands. I have nothing against New Zealanders. They're nice people. But who wants to live there? It's a small country, number one. A lot of, like, people in witness protection from America. They changed their name. They're living there, like, making believe that they own a coffee shop. Pizzeria. I mean, I don't want to go there. There's nothing there like sheep and mountains. So I'm not going to New Zealand. There's nowhere to go. What, Europe I'm going to go to? No. I'm not going to Europe. Putin hasn't invited me. I'm not Depardieu. I love Depardieu, the actor, but he's a meshuggah. I mean, everything he says is like conflicting. Depardieu, the French actor. I've always thought he was great. His best movie, by the way, is his most recent, which was a bomb, called Welcome to New York. Raise your hand if you saw that one. What a movie. He plays the French diplomat who's going to run the World Bank, got caught up in the rape scandal in New York, how he's booked and arrested in New York. Phenomenal movie. Bomb. Complete bomb. Welcome to New York. But Putin loves this guy. Gave him a citizenship in Russia. I wouldn't go there either. See, let's say Putin says, oh, I heard your show. I like you. Come to Russia. Become the voice of Russia. Yeah, right. That's a great job. Become a turncoat. I'm not going to Russia. I'm not going to go there. I'd be afraid to go to Russia, truthfully. You don't know what they're going to do to you the next day. You take your money, they steal it from you the next day. They give you a polonium sushi. Come to dinner, you know, next thing you know is like you're glowing. Like you wake up glowing in bed from the polonium sushi. I mean, if you ever get a piece of bread in Russia with a diplomat, and the bread looks like stale and miscolored and looks like it came from the bread museum, forget about it. Don't eat that bread. I'm having a good time here. Robert's laughing. No one else. Nothing like a stiff audience. What's going on out there? Where'd my audience go in the third hour? Someone's listening. I know by the data there's a listenership for hour three, but that's like not there. They're not reacting now to the whole Apocalypse Now theory. I'll have to develop it over the weekend. Because he went upriver, right? What was his character's name? It was from Joseph Conrad's novel where he goes up river. Huh? Spruce? Kurtz. Kurtz goes up river, played by Brando, and he starts mumbling to himself. Look, if you were stuffing handkerchiefs in your jaws to play the Godfather, you'd also start mumbling to yourself from the toxins in the linen. They'd like seep through the jawbone into your brain. And Brando was an interesting character, thinking about him. I didn't go for him in Apocalypse Now. That was not a very convincing role. They paid him a lot of money for like 6 lines. I think the contract said he could only read 6 lines for like $1 million. So he mumbled the rest. It was like you're supposed to be frightened when it like focused on him. That was the end of Coppola's career, that movie, Apocalypse Now. Because Brando screwed him by not doing his part right. Played Kurtz. It was not a very convincing role. Like, oh, there. Like, you wait the whole movie to see the guy. Like, dark, shot dark, low angle. He wasn't intimidating or frightening. My fifth grade teacher looked more frightening to me than Brando did in Apocalypse Now. Just the perfume she wore alone was more devastating than what Brando looked like in that movie. I don't know. All right, I'm just rambling. So what I mean by Apocalypse Now, Gone Up River, do you get it now? Do you like this humor in the middle of a political season? That's, I guess, what I'm asking you. Or when I talk about dreams, subconscious, go into my radio childhood, go into the... Or what you want to hear, I think, is Trump, Clinton, 5'2", podium stool, the debate rules. I'm not going to talk about Charlotte. What more do you need to know? A bunch of bums who should have been arrested. Out-of-state agitators who should have been arrested. If we had a legitimate government, they would have been arrested. If we had a legitimate president, the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild and the other outside agitators would have been arrested when they arrived in the state. But we don't. We have an illegitimate government. They funded them, basically. They let them over for, like, dinner after the riots. They did them a favor. I'm already into a break. You see what I'm talking about? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Success killed him.
He's like Marlon Brando. He went up to the wine country and never came back. When you think about that one, like you talk about Apocalypse Now, it's like winemaker now. After all of his success, he bought the winery, the old Christian Brothers winery on the stand, and never was seen again. It makes a very revered wine. I don't drink it myself. I don't drink wine at all. I can't stand it. It's my taste changed. I don't like alcohol at all lately. And I'm not going to smoke pot just because I live in California. What do you think? I'm like the politicians? Just go cold and sober. F. Scott Fitzgerald's former home in St. Paul, Minnesota, is on the market for $625,000. I wonder if they'll sell my house and use it. Buy Michael Savage's house where he wrote, Scorched Earth, Stop the Coming Civil War, Government Zero. They'll burn it down, probably. It's considering, like, in where I live in the Bay Area, are you kidding? They don't even read over here. They make believe they read. Liberals don't read. Their minds are made up. Years ago, they learned everything in college or high school. They don't even read. A little house he lived in, like a stone brick wall next to him. They gussied it up so much with the Sub-Zero and the Viking. It's disgusting. When is that age going to come to an end, everybody, with the stainless steel kitchens? It's awful looking. It's so past that. I'm for going back for the almond kitchens, like a mid-century almond-colored kitchen. Looks more appealing to me than a stainless steel. Everything's stainless steel, Viking, and they don't cook in it. My mother had a 4-burner electric stove. She could make dinners for 18. See the women today in Tiburon? They have houses, $18 million kitchens. They can't cook. They can't make a cup of tea. This is Michael Savage of Scorched Earth fame. See you Monday. Debates that night. Oh, my God. Forget about it.
Savage.